Hey, church, thank you so very much for being here with us today. One church hearing the same message in four locations. Here I am at our North Braddock campus right now. It's Vision Sunday, so you know what that means. Vision Sunday is all about getting your vision tested. I don't know if you've ever gotten your vision tested, but we have to look at that chart, and then it goes through a series of better, worse. Better, worse. How many of y'all get irritated with the better, worse deal? But the reason we do that is because we all need our vision checked. I mean, at least once a year. And this is our chance to take a look at our vision. Recently, playing tennis, I had this situation happen. I was playing at the net. I was playing with people much faster and much younger than I am. And what happened was they hit the ball pretty fast at me, and I took a shot right in the face, and it hit my glasses. So immediately, everybody ran over to me. They said, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And of course, you know what I said. Yes, I'm just fine. Even though I couldn't really see out of my right eye, and my glasses were all crooked and all messed up. And they said, are you okay? Do you need to sit down? I says, no, I don't. I just kept right on going. But what I needed to do was my eye needed to readjust, and my glasses were off. They were crooked, and so they just didn't see quite right. But once I got my glasses lined up properly and I got my vision back, I was okay. This is what happens with all of us. We all take shots to the face at times. And life has this. We all take a shot, it hits us, and if we're not careful, it knocks our vision off. But we have to go back and make sure that our vision is correct. And that's what today is all about. Hey, if you're a member here, or if a guest, if we have you on our mailing, you should have received our annual report in the mail. If you didn't receive this, anybody can get this today at your location in your campus, because listen, we want to brag about how great God is. This is all about the greatness of God, about His faithfulness. We have nothing to hide. We have an open book test. And so I want to take some time to review, are we accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish for His church? That's right. Are we accomplishing what Jesus wants us to do? Because we're not going to be evaluated on what we say we want to do. We're evaluated on what we actually do. Nobody goes to Chick-fil-A and complains about their cheeseburgers. Why? Because they don't serve that. They do chicken. That's why we go there. Okay? Consistent and great. That's why we go there. And so that's what we're going to take a look at. Why do we exist as a church? We exist so that as many people as possible, that's right, as many people as possible will begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. So if that's why we say we exist, we should have a way to evaluate that. How do we accomplish that? We accomplish that here at Bridge City Church in a simple way. We accomplish that by we gather, that's right, gather to grow. Every gathering we have is a growth opportunity. We give of ourselves and we go into our world with Spirit-led lives. That's right, for the glory of God. And so that's why we do this. So we evaluate these things. We want to evaluate these numbers, and that's what this annual report is all about. I'm not going to read you the report today, but there's some key things that have happened over this past year that are really, really super cool. And I think that we should celebrate and celebrate together here. First of all, our regular tithes and offerings from all, this is accumulative from all of our locations here, we are up 12.7% from 2022 to 2023. That is worth celebrating. Come on, that really, really is. Now, that is a sign of this. Now, this is what this is a sign of. It's a sign that more people are becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus. Because as I learn to follow Him, I learn to give of myself. And the more that a generous God in heaven becomes a generous God inside of me, the more we become generous, sacrificial, and faithful, and consistent on a regular basis. So most of all, on behalf of all of our pastors and all of our elders, elders and all of our leaders, I just want to say thank you. It's because of you that the ministry that Jesus began 2,000 years ago continues at Bridge City Church. Way to go here. Let's look at another couple other things. How about salvations? In our terminology, we say crossing the bridge from death to life here. That's right, beginning a relationship. Listen, 2022, we had 73 people respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2023, catch this, 142. That's a huge, huge, big difference. That means that the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven is getting bigger and there's more names being written in there. That is huge. And baptisms went from 36 in 2022 up to 66 in 2023. Awesome. Way to go. More people identifying as followers of Jesus. On behalf of all of our pastors, and you're going to be hearing from them in just a little bit here, we want to see these numbers grow because people are important. Our church is not based on a bunch of superstars on the platform, but it's based on a supernatural ministry that happens through each and every person in our church. We're going to be judged according to the way that people use their gifts, people use what God has given them. They're trained up, equipped, and released to be who they are in Christ. That's what matters. And a lot of people say, well, numbers, they don't really matter. You're just getting too focused on the numbers. Well, let me just tell you this. Natalie and I, we have 5 kids, and our family's actually growing. When I took those 5 kids out when they were younger, and when I came home, Natalie wanted to know, did I bring home the same 5 home that I took with me? Numbers do matter. It's just a matter of the relationship we have to the numbers. Numbers represent things, and we shouldn't be afraid to evaluate things in the body of Christ here. Well, let's look at one that maybe hasn't increased as it should. The number of groups that we have. And I'm going to be covering this in just a little bit, but we want to see more groups, more connection groups, so that more people can get cared for. But let's look at it. Let's look at another number that continues to increase: the amount of money that we give away. That's right. The amount of money in missions that we give away is very significant, and we continue to give away over 10% of what is coming in. That's right. In this past year, in 2023, we have given away over $240,000 to missions all over the world. Come on, let's give God a great big hand with that. That is huge. That is awesome. Way to go. That's right. We're affecting ministries in Pittsburgh. We're affecting ministries in our country, but also all over the world. Schools are being started, training schools that are sustainable and reproducible. That's right. We're also helping with education in many different countries as well, helping kids get an education. Okay, one more here, our One Vision campaign. We're actually entering our last year of this campaign. It's really, really huge. And what we have is people have been committed to giving over and above their regular tithes and offerings. They're giving to the One Vision campaign, which is predominantly for facilities, improving facilities, and also building in land acquisitions as we need them in some of our campuses. We are presently, at the end of the year here, the report is 55% of our goal has been reached. Well, we're a little behind in that percentage, but I believe that together we can take big strides and we're going to make up some lost ground. Why? Because at our White Oak campus, we're at the point right now because they're growing so much that we need a building or land acquisition right now. And so we're preparing for that as well as at our North Braddock campus, that they're doing something very significant, and we're planning out and processing how to create better and more efficient kids ministry space. These are some of the things that we're doing. So I want to thank you for those who have given, but also say that we're going to continue to move forward in these areas with the One Vision campaign. That's what we're doing here, and I'm just celebrating everything that God has done and what God continues to do with the vision that He has given us. One more thing I just want to say about something that's coming up this next year in our vision. I want to use it in this portion here. On August 4th of this year, what we're going to be doing is this. We're going to be having a unified church worship time on Sunday morning at Highmark Stadium down on the south side. This is going to be more than only Bridge City Church. We presently have 12 churches committed to this, and I'm believing there's going to be a few more. That's right, we're going to fill that stadium with kids and students and people just like you and me, and we're going to worship God together. And all of these churches are going to do something significant. That's right, get together on a Sunday morning, not only like a Sunday night or a different time, which is all great, and I'm all for it. But what would happen and what could God do if we unite our hearts, not only with other churches in Pittsburgh, but we continue to unite our hearts and continue to unite our resources and all we have for Him in this next year? Hey, at this time, what we're going to take a look, we have the opportunity to hear from members and from people who regularly attend our church and what they experienced in 2023. Let's take a look.
April 13th, 2023, I got shot. And I was in real bad shape. And Pastor Nick came and visited me. He brought me a new Bible. And in the Bible, it had these index cards. And they were all notes from all the guys in Connection Group that really made me feel like I belonged, you know, to the church.
Last year, I lost my husband that I love. It is not an easy road for me. My heart broke into pieces. There is no words can describe how I felt. Connection Group helped me to go through my trials and build my faith deeper, closer to Jesus.
In the past year, I walked into some of the toughest seasons, the most uncertain seasons and storms of my life, and just being surrounded by the other women in Bridge City just reminded me of God's love and comfort and being able to feel that through their presence.
I went out to California, Southern California, for a job. I started feeling weird, like pains and aches. I called my wife and was telling her, and she was telling me that I was basically describing a heart attack. The thing that really struck me was the amount of people, first of all, that changed their whole world around for me, that were able to watch our family, our sons and daughter, that were taking care of things for us while I was gone, while my wife was out there with me. The incredible amount of people that said they were praying for me.
I was in a place of really deep isolation, looking back on it now and understanding that it was rooted in rejection, worthlessness, and even fear. I started attending Sunday services less and less, and that was my goal.
We were struggling emotionally and spiritually, so my wife and I attended a worship prophetic night. We went up and got prayer from two people from our own Brighton Heights campus. God gave us the word that we needed to hear, and He met us. We decided it was time to start saying yes, yes to everything. Yes to connection groups, yes to worship nights, yes to serving, and yes to getting involved. This has radically changed our lives. Our marriage is stronger, our family seeks after God together, and we overall just have a spiritual guidance that has really helped us.
I attended my first Victory and Freedom. I was looking for more fellowship, and that's one thing I found was fellowship with other men in a church. And it allowed me to address things that were separating me from God and separating me from my goals in my journey in faith.
Before I even joined the church, I was part of a connection group that I was invited to. As an introvert, sometimes it's hard for me to get started and to participate. But when I joined a group, I felt really safe I felt like I could be myself. I could let my guard down and share things that I might not normally share.
A lot has transformed in my life. We met with Pastor Gary prior to us getting married quite a few times, and he encouraged us that we should make a covenant with each other. Hodge and I took a vow with each other and we got married.
I went on the Pittsburgh mission trip in 2023. During the trip, I not only grew my relationship with people, but I also grew my relationship with God. One of my favorite parts was when I would pray for somebody and I'd close my eyes, and right when I'd look up, I'd see them crying and smiling at the same time. And it made me so happy to know that God touched them and that God was with me all along.
I have grown in my faith so much since attending here. I have become stronger in my spiritual giftings, and I'm just so grateful for the opportunities that this church gives to become equipped and to grow in my walk with Jesus.
So in the past year, I went from sliding into the back, sitting by myself, to really just joining the body and joining leadership opportunities. I've been told plenty of times how important it is to just show up and let God take care of the rest. And for as many times as I've put that to the test, He's never failed.
One of the first things that I did when I got back was to go to the outdoor experience at the amphitheater in Monroeville. And, you know, just the amount of people that I hadn't seen for so long coming up to me and hugging me and telling me that they were praying for me. And, you know, it was overwhelming.
I decided to get baptized because I always knew Jesus as my Savior, but I never made the commitment of making Him Lord in my life.
Bridge City Church really encouraged us to take our next steps in our faith by us getting baptized together at the outdoor worship experience.
I decided to get baptized at the New Year's Eve worship experience because of the transformation that God has had in my life, as well as the people He's put around me. From the support that I receive, the love that I receive, to just the guidance and the knowledge, I can't thank Him enough for everything that He's done so far in my life.
I got baptized on New Year's Eve. When I came out of the water, literally felt like a brand new person.
God provided me the help that I need, and I found that here in our church, Bridge City Church.
Let's give God a great big hand for all that He did in people's lives in 2023. Way to go, church, and way to go, leaders. So excited. Well, hey, in this time, I get a chance to help us get focused forward and what does God want to do in 2024 and beyond here. So I'm going to launch out of Matthew chapter 9, 35. Here we go. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And He healed every kind of disease and illness. So here we have Jesus going through each and every town, towns like Brighton Heights, North Braddock, Murraysville, White Oak, and every community around. He's going through the towns, He's going through the villages, and He's healing people. So at first glance, it looks like things are pretty good. What does Jesus possibly need at this point? People are getting healed. They're hearing the good news. He's teaching, and what a teacher He is. It looks like everything is okay here. But something began to happen here. In the midst of the three things that Jesus was doing, let's look at these three things. He was teaching in the synagogue. Yeah, He was preaching the good news, was predominantly outside of the synagogue, announcing the kingdom of God. So there was a church teaching, getting better at their training, but there was a preaching of the kingdom of God there, but also healing people as well. Healing, restoring people. And we're going to get into that definition of just a little bit here. But something happened in verse 36, when He saw the crowds. Yeah, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. like sheep without a shepherd. That's what they were. And if there was ever a time in our world, never a time in our lives, where this is a real definition of where people are right now. They're confused and they're helpless and they're harried and harassed. And I think what God's asking us to do going into this year, our vision forward, is continue to use every resource we have for those that are confused and helpless and need help. But when he saw, that literally means when he looked upon, when he experienced, when he perceived, discerned, he was aware of something. And if anybody was more like this, I don't know who it could be, but in Jesus' church, it's easy to get nearsighted. It's really interesting. In all the medical profession, most everything you're defined by what you're not good at or you don't have. But when it comes to your vision, when you say you're nearsighted, it's defining what you're good at. That means you can see near. We see what's right in front of us. I can see here, but we have problems looking out. And Jesus was not only concerned with his followers, but he was concerned with those who were harried and helpless and harassed. Yeah. And so we have to be careful that we don't just bypass other people and people in the real state of where they are. And we have to ask Jesus, if we lack compassion, we have to ask Jesus, once again, burn your compassion into me. Why? Because I believe that Jesus only sees two types of people. And I'm going to use the words he used. There's lost and found, dead and alive, hellbound, heavenbound. And if once you believe that, and if we really believe that heaven and hell are real places, that is a game changer in how we see and what we do. I know what some of you are thinking. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not that person. I'm not outgoing. We got you covered. It's going to be okay. Yeah. Because we're not asking you to go be something that you're not, just that we would care for those people around us. Because I can't change the whole world, but we can do something about our part in the world, our piece of the world. I can do that much, but we will never care about that which we do not see. Well, I'm going to have Ashley come forward here, and I want to use an illustration here. Like, see, it's just a matter of seeing a somebody. It's a matter of seeing somebody. So come all the way up here. Come all the way up here. Come on, let's give her a big hand. And Ashley's a part of she's our office administrator. She attends White Oaks. She's led group. Thanks so much for volunteering to help me out with our Vision Sunday here. So there's an interesting statistic that I came across. I was reading an article recently, and it stated that 62% of our population are eligible to give blood. I give blood regularly as soon as it's time, religiously over the years. It's just something that I do. But the surprising statistic that only 3% of that 62% actually do it. Well, why? There's a lot of reasons why. I don't like needles. I'm afraid. It's awkward. It takes time. I'm busy. Somebody else will do it. So here it is. Here's what I want to say to you. Most of us never really think about it because it's not on our radar. We don't have a person that needs blood. So what if I were to tell you, Ashley, and I'm not confessing anything negative over you, by the way. Okay. What if I were to tell you that Ashley, she needs a blood transfusion? It's doable, it will help her, practically, and the condition that she has is solvable, but you're going to have to go through your own awkwardness, your own maybe uncomfortable with maybe needles or presenting an invitation or something like that, but you could help her if you were to give blood. Now, this is Ashley, okay, office administrator, a great woman of God. Now, how many of you are willing, all over our campuses right now, if you're willing to give blood to help Ashley, raise your hand right now. Raise your hand right now. There we go. Look, there's people all over. You can't even see all the people on all the campuses. They're raising their hand right now. Okay. Now, how many of y'all that made your day? It did make your day. It touched your heart. Let's give Ashley a great big hand. Very good. Thank you for helping her. See, this is what happens. We fail to see people. We fail to see people in our lives with something that we could practically do. That's right, practically do. You have the ability, and we all have enough time, but we just have to put it into our schedule. What would it look like if we approach this next month, going into March, leading up to Easter, as if we all had one mission, and that's to give the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the cleansing blood of Jesus and help as many people as possible get the blood of Jesus, a real transfusion in their lives. How many of y'all think that would be a good idea right there? Yeah. But we have to be willing to be moved by compassion. Something happened inside of you when you saw Ashley here. That's right. That's what compassion is. It's deeply moving. Now, this is the kind of people in our world right now. They're confused and harassed. Do you know what that word really means? It means skinned alive. It means skin pelt. There are people in your world and in my world, they're being skinned alive by this world right now with worry, stress, pain, financial problems, relationship issues, job problems. They're getting skinned alive, and we have the ability to affect their lives. They're helpless. They're being thrown about here. So what are we going to get better at this year? What's 2024 going to be better at? We're going to get better at teaching in church, but not only that, with our connection groups and with our small groups and our growth track, we're going to get better at training in the Word of God, not just teaching. That means training people to take the Word of God and apply it to their everyday, ordinary lives. And also get better at preaching and declaring the kingdom of God in our world. Whatever part of the world you're in, that's where Jesus wants to go. Wherever you work, wherever you go to school, Jesus wants to go there with you. That's where he wants you to be here. Then also healing. That's where we become fully devoted followers. We can deal with our past and get free to live in our future. We can get free to be who God's created us to be. Church, we're going to continue to get better at that. So when we give financially, when we give to missions, when we do all these things, it has the very core of what we see in Matthew chapter 9 right here. That's why all across Bridge City Church, we are asking all of you to join our leadership. And that's right, fill out these invest and invite cards. That's right. What we want to do is we are asking everybody to list people in your life, people that you see on a regular basis, write down their names, pray for them every day, and then simply invite them to come with you on Easter Sunday to meet Jesus in a really real way. We believe that if we will just all join our hearts together, pray, and see the people around us with compassion, that's right, the harried and harassed, and we're willing to go through that awkwardness, just like the awkwardness of needles, willing to go through that give up my busyness and just simply invite people, we believe that the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that's what Easter is all about. Come on, it's all about people far from God. It's about making heaven bigger and hell smaller. Will you join us? Will you be a part here? Because that's what we want to get better at, not only one day a year, but then afterwards, you're going to hear from your campus pastor in a few minutes, and we're going to hear how we together can get these instructions. We're going to pray. Every time that we serve in church, we are an answer to Jesus' prayer. Why do I say that? Why? Because he said, pray the Lord of the harvest in Matthew 9. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. And at Bridge City Church, everybody who serves, everybody who's a part, is a part of harvesting. Harvest is all about more people going to heaven and then becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus. So I want to be an answer to Jesus' prayer. How about you? That's what I want to be, and that's what we can be when we serve. Every time we're giving financially, we're a part of harvest work and restoring lives. So here it is. I'm going to conclude here. Matthew 10, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. That's right, the exact same thing Jesus was doing a few verses earlier, he now gives to us. He says, I'm giving you authority now to go into your world and expand. He's giving us authority to go into our world so that more people can get healed. That's the same word that Jesus used of what he was doing, he gives to us. The same thing Jesus was doing, he wants us to be doing. That's right. And I believe in a church that's expanding. I believe in a church that's growing. I believe in more and more people that can be trained and equipped. But how are we going to do this? In verse 5 of Matthew 10, here's a key. Here it is. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. In just a few moments, you're going to be hearing about the instructions that each campus pastor has for you and your location. You've heard the big instructions from me, but this is what we're going to continue to do. This is why we sacrifice and give. But let me tell you, in 2024, we're going to get better at these things. In lost people crossing the bridge, people who are hell-bound becoming heaven-bound, crossing the bridge. Saved people pastored, because that's what Jesus said they needed, was a shepherd. Pastored people trained, and trained people mobilized. How many of y'all believe that is a vision and a mission worth investing in, worth becoming a part of, and worth serving? All over, let's give God a great big hand. I just want to thank you so very, very much for spending this time with me. Your campus pastor is going to come forward now and share with you specific instructions for your location.
Hey, amen. Good morning. Wasn't that awesome? God is up to something at Bridge City Church, and I want to be part of that. Don't you want to be part of this? This is amazing what God is doing. First of all, I want to introduce myself. If you're new here and you're like, who's this guy? He's not Pastor Gary. You're right, I'm not. Pastor Gary is the campus pastor, but he is away. He's still in the mission field right now in Cambodia, correct? He's in Cambodia right now? He's in Cambodia. But I'm Pastor Ben Kendrew. I'm the executive pastor. However, I am on April 21st. We're going to celebrate in the morning, Pastor Gary, and then I'm going to be set in later in the evening along with Doug. I'll be set in as the campus pastor, and Doug will be set in as the elder. So I'm excited for that. So God, yes. And God is up to something, and God is on the move. And so I just wanted to share some things with you. And in this clip, you see Pastor Rick talk about our foundation, our mission of what we're about. This is posted all over the church. The mission of Bridge City Church, why we exist, right, is that so as many people as possible will begin a relationship with Jesus and become fully devoted followers of Christ. And so that's what we're about. That's why we exist. This is why we do what we do. It isn't just to get together and church it up, but this is the reason we do what we do. And this is why we invite you to be part of this. And this is why the Great Commission exists, is that we can help people cross that bridge and become fully devoted followers of Christ. And so many of you are doing that. I am so thankful to be part of this church campus. How do we do ministry? Pastor Rick talked about this, and you're going to see these words posted up as well. It says, we gather to grow. We come together, we grow. Every time we come together, the intention is to grow in our relationship in Christ. We give and we go. We give of our time, talent, treasures, and then we leave this area and we go out into the world. You go into your homes, you go into your workplaces, in your neighborhood, and for Pastor Gary, around the world somewhere, you know. But we go in the name of Jesus to make disciples all for the glory of God. And that's what it's about. It's about his glory, not our glory, right? It's about the glory of God. And so that is the measure of faithfulness equals multiplication and growth. We're looking to multiply Jesus' church and grow. And so as the kind of the... I get the opportunity and honor. I recognize I'm not yet the campus pastor, but I've got the opportunity on behalf of Pastor Gary. But Pastor Rick kind of put me in this to say, hey, this is what I want you to do. And I think of the prophet Nehemiah, the Old Testament prophet. The Jerusalem, the walls were crashed in around 587 BC, and the walls came tumbling down, and Nehemiah was given the task to go back, to take people with him, to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. You know, and I love the attitude, and here's the verse. I'm just going to read it quickly to you. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision or mockery or disbelief. And in verse 18, get this, I told them on the hand of my God that I had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And then they said, get this, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for good work. And so Nehemiah came and he called these people and he got them together and they rolled up their sleeves and got to work to rebuild. And so Jerusalem eventually was rebuilt. But it took leadership, it took vision, and it took the people to get involved and to roll up their sleeves and to use their gifts and abilities. Some people were on the wall, some people were making the bricks, some people were providing protection, but they were all building and they rolled up their sleeves and got together. That's my hope and prayer for this campus at Brighton Heights, is that we would continue to build on that foundation, because they did. Those walls, there was a foundation that existed. And I want you to think about that. This is a Nehemiah principle, was this. Nehemiah reminded the people to walk in obedience and to be faithful unto the Lord and his commandments. And so as a pastor, as what Pastor Gary has demonstrated, and what I hope to continue to demonstrate to you, is that we would continue to walk in obedience. And Pastor Gary, I'm so thankful that he's still going to be around. He's going to be traveling still, but he's going to be around. But what I've learned, what we learned from Nehemiah is this, that Nehemiah was a man that was prayerful and was seeking God's wisdom. That's the kind of people we need to be. Whether it's through just prayer for ourselves, prayer for one another, the prophetic, we need to be a people of prayer seeking God's wisdom. Amen? That's how Nehemiah led. He was a person of integrity and character, right? He led out of his heart, not out of his emotions. He led out of his faith, right? He led in such a way that it was his integrity that mattered, and that's what leaked through, and that's what people saw, and that's what people wanted to follow. Do the people see that when they come up against you? He led by example. Nehemiah just didn't get up on some platform and was lofty in talking about this. He led by example. In other words, he not only told the vision and cast the vision, he got down and rolled up his sleeves and put bricks on the wall. He got down and dirty and with the people, and he did the work of the business. So he led by example. There was a process that he followed. There was a plan. They measured things, but they did it with excellence. And you can see that. You can see that here. Even the way Aaron and the team led us in worship this morning with excellence. Wasn't that great this morning? It was amazing. So that's how Nehemiah led, was with this process of excellence. But also, they provided, Nehemiah helped the people understand that they're to provide care for one another. And so this was kind of the Nehemiah principle that they built on. This is how they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. There was an existing foundation, and I want you to think about that, is that when we get to here, when we think about Bridge City Church, we think about the Brighton Heights campus, there is a foundation that has been laid here. This is my first point. I want you to see this. It should be coming up. That this is what we're going to do. These are things that could be and should be, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to get better, as Pastor Rick said, but we're going to start with this one. We're going to build on the foundation and honor Pastor Gary and Donna. That's what we're going to do. Decades of ministry and pouring into this community and this church, they've laid a great foundation, and you can feel it. You've been ministered to by them, each of them, and we're going to continue to build on that. We're going to honor them by making disciples. We're going to honor them by going out into the neighborhood and into the nations. That's the way we're going to honor them and continue to do that. Amen? Do you want to be part of that? I know I do. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to honor them. And so on April 21st, on a Sunday morning, we're going to have a big celebration to honor Pastor Gary and Donna for all they've done and how they poured into them, to you all, into this church. And just so thankful. But we're going to honor them. And so I encourage you, between now and then, to write them words of encouragement, to talk to them personally, to thank them to honor them for all they have given and how they've demonstrated Jesus to you, how they've pointed you to the Holy Spirit, how they've just demonstrated that over and over again. Sometimes they might have given you a tough word that wasn't hard to hear, but I tell you, you probably needed it. Here's the second thing we're going to do. Look at this next one. We have Bridge City Kids. We have so many more kids that will continue to grow. Downstairs, we're opening up a more of the children's ministry area that we're going to have a ribbon cutting ceremony coming up. I think it is on the 17th of April. We're going to open and celebrate a win that what God is doing in the life of our children's ministry, right? So we have the amazing work of Jess Jackson and Katrina Jackson, and if you're sitting in here and you've poured into our kids, thank you. You know, but here's the other thing I wanted to put out a challenge. We need more men down there working with our children as well, right? I want to just encourage you to do that. But we're going to build this. If you look at each one of these as like a Lego or a brick or whatever it is, we're going to build on that Bridge City Kids. We want to see our kids to grow up and be trained up in the way they should go. So when they're older, they won't depart from it. And that's why we have this amazing children's ministry. One of the things that people look for when they're going to a church is that do they have a solid kids ministry, and do they have a solid student ministry or a youth ministry, right? We have Bruce Powell. Bruce, could you stand up for me? Thank you. Bruce is now the Bridge City Church Student Ministry Director over all four campuses, and Bruce is putting together teams and helping people come along. And so alongside Bruce, we have we have Lauren and Matt Dovey, who are stepping up. Where are they? Right there, and is she downstairs? Okay. They're stepping up to help pick up this mantle of a student ministry. I know at one point it was very rich here, correct? It was. And so they're stepping up and stepping in. But we're going to have quality. We're going to get this right. We're going to do this. We're going to do this thing. We're going to have quality and amazing and excellent unto the Lord, children's ministry and student ministry. And we're going to have, this is going to be a place where people are going to want to bring their kids and they're going to want to invite their friends. And we're going to get that right. The next thing, the next brick I would think that we're going to have here, for student ministry in late April, Bruce, we're going to have a big event here at the church, and Bruce and the team are going to put that together, so I'm really looking forward. Get to know Bruce, get to know Matt and Lauren if you don't know them. They're amazing. They're pouring into our students. I'm biased because I have a high schooler, so... But this one matters. This matters. This isn't the church later. This is the church now, these kids and these students. The third one, that we're going to continue to grow in number and in faith. We're going to continue to grow in number. We've seen an increase here at Brighton Heights Church of people coming, and our attendance numbers have gone up. Praise be to God, right? And we're going to see a continuation in the number of people that are attending connection groups, the people that are going to Victory and Freedom, the number of people that are serving in different areas that are going to continue to grow in faith. These are the avenues which we're encouraging you to get involved with, right? This is a community. You can't do this alone. And so we provide the opportunities throughout the week, even to the point where we've added new chairs. We've changed the look up here. I mean, they've done an amazing job, haven't they? This place looks amazing. But we're going to continue to begin to preach God's word better. We're going to, you know, declare and help people come to know Jesus and cross the bridge. But we're going to dream big. We're going to continue to dream big. We have this invest and invite card where we want you to, again, you've heard about it. We're going to hear a lot more about it. But we want you to take it serious. Do not leave this on the floor when you leave, right? Please don't do that. Take it home, put it in your Bible, put it on your fridge, and think of people in your life where you can, these are souls that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is your part. You're like, I'm not an evangelist. Well, this is your part. Bring them. We'll talk to them about it. Pastor Gary's preaching on Easter Sunday. I can't wait to hear it. It's going to be amazing, right? So this invest and invite is your opportunity to help invest in the lives of others. Amen. The fourth one, here we go. Here's the next block. We're going to develop a culture that will, did I just do that? Yeah, I just did that, didn't I? Man, I'm excited. I'm not even following my notes. But here's the thing, I'll say this, that there needs to be a perspective shift, okay? We're moving forward in Jesus' name, right? We're moving forward, and we need servant leaders that have the attitude of Jesus Christ, that are willing to put that work in. to invest, have compassion on people, to see an urgency that the gospel needs to be declared, that you're going to stuff your feelings down, okay? We're going to deal with your feelings, but we want you to feel that. But at the same time, we're going to be selfless and not selfish. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do this. We're going to get this right. And so we want to develop this culture where people want to come here, right? And we have got to get better at providing care for one another. We've got to see people in our aisles. We've got to see people that aren't here. We've got to reach out to them. That's part of connection groups. But what you guys can send texts, you can make phone calls, you could take them a coffee or a dessert or something. But we have to see people like Jesus sees them. And so that's how we create this culture. We need to have this attitude of Christ. The next one, to be a church of servant leaders with the attitude of Christ. That is our goal. This attitude of Christ must permeate all that we do. It has to. It's got to be about Jesus. It's got to be a spirit-led life. It's got to be spirit-filled what we're doing. That's what it's got to come out of us. And so we're looking for leaders. We have a food pantry that desperately needs help. Did you know that? Did you know we have a food pantry here? They're in need of help. These guys need help. And so we're going to get that. We're going to fix that. We need ushers. We need at least four more ushers, at least four, if not more. We're looking for more people to help on the worship team, to come along, help Aaron develop a bench. There's children's workers that we need, student ministry. There's the welcome team. There's so many other things that we need, but we need that servant leadership, you know? So this is an opportunity. God is on the move and doing something, but we need to move that 80-20, that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the church. We need to get the people that are just sitting there and not doing anything. I want to encourage you and challenge you, if you're not serving somewhere at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights, I want to challenge you this morning, find a place to plug in. Find a place to have your attitude be that of Christ and serve and pour yourself out and watch what God will do through you. He wants that. Those are the building blocks that I see. I've been here since about mid-December, and these are kind of the five things that I'm like, if this is what I do, I talked to Pastor Gary about it. He said, go for it. I love that man. And so here's the thing. These are the things that we could and should be doing, but we're going to get better at these. We're going to get better at these. And this is more of an encouragement than anything. I want to just encourage you to find these building blocks, pray over them, and then we do roll up our sleeves and we do this together. Amen? Are you with me? I'm excited for what God is going to do. God is on the move here at Brighton Heights Church, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do. So I invite you to stand. I just want to pray over you right now. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now. Heavenly Father, I just pray for Brighton Heights right now. Lord, that we would take the foundations that have been laid by Pastor Gary and Donna, and Lord, we would continue to build upon that. Lord, that we would have this attitude that we would see the church now is the children and students and youth that need to hear the gospel. And Lord, may this be a place where they want to bring their friends. And so we pray for those ministries in particular. Lord, we pray that we may become fully devoted followers of you. Lord, that we would deal with the things that cause us, that entangles us from growing, and that we'd have renewed hearts and minds, that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to grow in faith as a church right now. Lord, I pray that we would be a culture, a church culture, that we would understand the urgency of sin that separates and the urgency of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would see people in a different manner. Lord, change our perspective. Lord, give us the compassion. Soften our hearts. Help us to deal with things in a Christ-like way. Help us to deal with conflict in a Christ-like way. Help us to put aside our selfishness and be selfless like Jesus is. And so, Father, I just pray that we would have the attitude of Jesus, that the attitude of Christ would fall upon this church, that we would begin to roll up our sleeves and get busy to doing the work of your kingdom here at Brighton Heights Church. And so, Father, I pray a blessing upon us now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.